Coming up on All About Android, we're going to discuss how Google likes to kill its darlings. Also, Flo's busted Pixel, what to expect at Google I.O., the amazing cameras on the Huawei P30 Pro, and so much more. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Cashfly. Give your users the seamless online experience they want. Power your site or app with Cashfly CDN, Content Delivery Network, and be 30% faster than the competition. Learn more at twit.cashfly.com. And by LegalZoom, check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 414, recorded on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah, you are, and you are back this
I'm
week.
Back.
Good to have you back.
Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Always.
Keeping my seat here.
Always. We are also welcoming back Matteo Doni, the return of the guy who sacrifices sleep for this show. Welcome, Matteo.
Not that Great. We condone that, by the way.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on. If I'm not watching live, I do my best to stay up and actually speak to you.
Well, we appreciate it, although I'm realizing you've infiltrated the show in more than just one way this week. Apparently, you are so important that we have changed the All About Android logo to feature a goat.
Oh, I was wondering about that. I didn't want to call attention to it.
Oh, just for Matteo?
Just for Matteo.
Oh, so you switch to the wide and it's not there?
Oh, it's only on his lower third.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
Dang,
wow,
man.
Oh, Matteo.
You're stepping up.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Victor. This is another feather in my hat.
Yeah, I didn't want to make Ron mad.
Too many feathers, if you ask me. Too many.
Too many goats.
Thank you. I'm
next
honored.
Time he comes to the studio, his head's not going to fit in the door.
I know, right?
Well, hopefully that's soon.
Well, we'll see. I don't know how we one up this at this point. You've got a bumper. You've got a lower third.
I don't even have a bumper.
Don't lay the gauntlet down, man. Just leave it be.
Just let it be.
I have to thank Victor, who is also my Pokemon Go best friend now.
Oh, yeah, they're trading.
Victor obviously has your back.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that made the lower third. So he's like, oh, so what kind of trade am I going to get next time?
Yeah.
Well, I am curious now with the goat infiltration, the great goat infiltration.
Goat infiltration.
The goat filtration. Matteo's got to be the most frequent guest on the show, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably up there.
Has anyone tallied that up? Someone in the chat room needs to tally that up and count the guests.
I'm pretty sure that he is, just based on anecdotal in my mind evidence.
Usually that is the sort of thing that when we say it randomly without any expectations, Patrick Delahanty in the other room suddenly comes back with statistics. Not applying pressure, Patrick.
Okay,
just saying that he might be the one to be able to
I just did a quick find on our doc, and I don't know how deep it goes, but there are 27 instances of the word Matteo on it.
Oh,
so
how?
Name another guest that could even match that number. I don't even know.
We could have a Matteo marathon, and it would cover a whole weekend of content.
So we started, Ron, saying, you know, we didn't want to, like, make Matteo's head get
and
any yet, larger than it
I
is.
Know, here it is.
Yeah, here
and it was
we are.
Me. That's the irony.
Good
the
job,
irony
Ron.
This is why Matteo wakes up in the middle of the night to be on the show.
Exactly.
Matteo was inside of us all along.
Yeah. We're better than caffeine, Matteo. We wake you up, don't we?
Apparently.
Yeah.
You definitely do. It's not the breathing crystal smartphone I have here.
Oh, boy. We are going to talk about that.
I was like, what kind of crystal are you having for breakfast?
Yeah. You might ask yourself that question by the end of this episode. But we aren't going to get there quite yet. We are first going to take a dive. We're going to jump off the edge right into the pool of news.
I totally wasn't on the stock media site looking for pictures of goats. So So here's Android news.
I love the idea of Victor frantically clearing his browser cache or like, don't look.
See, what was it? Private shopping mode. I wasn't looking at goats.
Pictures of goats.
Pictures of goats for the show. It wasn't me.
Flow. So we like to do a little show and tell here on All About Android. Jason, the way he's looking at me is pretty intense. Right,
I'm very curious to hear the story because I know very little.
So last week I went to a women's conference called Alt Summit in Palm Springs. I had a wonderful week. It was full of rah, 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 go girl, girl power.
Yay.
Unfortunately, on my last day in Palm Springs when I was out playing tourist, enjoying, you know, my day off after many days of conferencing, I dropped my Pixel 3.
Oh.
Let me tell you, I dropped it, by the way, right in front of Marilyn Monroe's house.
Oh, and not Marilyn Monroe, though.
No. Okay, well, no. She's, and if I recall correctly, she passed in that house. So I'm pretty sure that Marilyn Monroe's ghost came and haunted my Pixel 3, and that's why it fell out of my hand and onto the floor and shattered thusly.
Oh, my goodness.
My phone is disgusting, but I'm not going to clean it because there's all these shards of glass in it.
Yeah.
So
my goodness.
I mean,
oh, my goodness.
If you can see this, it's pulverized there in the corner. It fell on the corner and then face down like that. And there's this giant, like, the entire screen is just cracked from here all the way to the edge. There are little holes missing out of it.
Oh, not all the glass stayed in there.
Not all the glass stayed in. The phone still works, by the way.
That was my question. The $10 million question is, does it still work?
It still works. The touchscreen, actually, I tested it carefully here in the corner. I don't want to turn it on because I don't want to deal with notifications and stuff. But I tested it. The touchscreen still works and everything. But, you know, I have to send this off. Like, I can't use it like this.
It's sad.
It is sad. This is the first time this has ever happened to me.
First screen destruction?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is the first screen destruction
that's
ever happened.
You never forget
to me.
Your first dropped phone.
So now here's the, yeah, Jason, you know that very close to your heart, right?
Yes.
So now here's the question, though. What is your recourse? Is it under warranty? Like, do we just get it replaced and everything will be fine, or are you SOL?
So I am very bad at taking the advice that I give people.
Here it comes.
And, you know, I'm afraid to say this out loud because a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of messages like, this is why you wear a case. This is why you do a thing. And it's like, yes, I know. It just so happens this fell in the Riverdale case that I bought off of AliExpress. So that was a bummer.
Oh, so
my fandom clearly doesn't protect anything in my life.
So that case is more like a cosmetic, like
it was. It was
instead
a cosmetic
of like
case.
A protect
I was
your
doing photo
phone.
Shoots with my friend that day. The entire week, I was wearing this nice thick case, and like everything was fine. And on the last day, when I wanted to get fancy and do Instagram photos with my really good friend, like, and that's the thing. It's just that really is a bummer.
Yeah,
I brought outfits for every day of the week. For the phone, by the way, because
wow.
that listen,
you really,
that's
you really I, think about this.
I really
stuff.
Get into it. It's super fun. I love having fun with this stuff. Unfortunately, it didn't fare so well in the end. So right now, I've paid Google. None of the in-person repair services that do the Pixel repair program are available near me. The nearest one is 40 miles away, down in Fremont, which is like quite a commute for me, and I'm not doing that. So I'm doing it in person. I've already paid Google. My box should be in the mail tomorrow, and then I'm going to send it in for probably about 2 weeks.
What is it? What does it cost to get a screen replaced by Google?
$300.
Holy cow.
Wow.
That's expensive.
It's $300.
Well, when the phone's $1,000.
And I already paid full price for the phone because I bought it. But I am
here.
You're
not going to give up on it at that point.
No.
You know, like, you could pay the $300, get the screen replaced, put a case on it that's going to protect it next time.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the heavy duty case and I guess put a screen protector on there.
Yeah.
But you know, I live this life so I can tell other people about it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
what I do for a living. I mess up so you don't have to.
Yeah.
And so this is what happens. And do the Pixel warranty program. I know it's extra money and it seems like, gosh, it's like $100 extra, but it's way cheaper than the $300 you'll pay for the broken screen that happens.
But if you pay that and then you never drop it, then it's wasted money, right? That's always the question mark with insurance programs. You know, it's like, yeah,
I know.
You don't know what's going to happen. You could pay it, not need it, or need it, not pay it. And you just never know.
Well, and here's the other problem. And I'm bringing this again. This is all about Android. And this is very much related is, you know, we don't have Apple stores where we can take our devices. We have to find reputable places that can repair this. And so for all the people screaming at me to get this repaired nearby, I don't know who does Pixel stuff near me. There's a lot of iPhone replacements that have happened over the last 7, 8 years, however many years we've had the iPhone. And I don't know if it's the same with the, like, I'm dubious. Maybe I haven't done my research, but Google, I don't have time right now.
Google,
I will say with my limited experience with the Apple Store and the Genius Bar, that's not a great experience either.
Yeah.
So just because they have the Apple stores doesn't mean that they're fixing things and making everybody's life that much easier.
That's
I could be
fair.
Wrong, but my limited experience was it was annoying and obnoxious. But maybe I was biased.
That's fair. But, I just think about in terms of knowing exactly where to go, you know.
There's a storefront in my neighborhood that opened across the street from my apartment building called You Break It, I Fix It.
Yeah, that's just the one that Google contracts with. And those are the ones that the nearest location to me is 40 miles.
40 miles is 40 a ways miles. To go.
It's a ways to go in the Bay Area. That's,
go home.
Bay Area is LA.
Back, and go home.
You can't get anywhere here with a car.
When you live in the rural part of the Bay Area, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Google only just started repairing these things, specifically these things, Pixel 3s, in March. So, you know, maybe it's just limited.
But even if you took it to You Break It, I Fix It, it would probably be 300. Like, it would still cost money.
It's still $280. It's like $280 or something like that. So,
How many phones have you broken, Mateo?
Yeah.
Surprisingly, few considering my throughput of smartphones.
Yeah, you have tons of smartphones.
I'm lucky that I think the only one I've completely smashed was my Samsung Galaxy S5. That was the Band-Aid one. And luckily I had insurance. I always have that.
You do.
And it was replaced by my insurance company very, very rapidly.
You buy insurance specifically when you buy the phone, or is this like general insurance that covers you on all sorts of things, including your phone?
No, this is a part of my bank account services. It includes smartphone insurance,
nice.
As well as travel insurance and other benefits. So I use that. It's quite common in the UK to have that either as an add-on for your current account or as a part of the service.
Hmm.
But there are plenty of options in the UK for purchasing insurance separately.
Yeah.
Obviously... The value and the quantity of the excess is it depends on the service provider.
Right.
But I'd say I've been quite lucky, and also I always use lovely Mocadile cases, or as I've been doing more recently, Fenim cases or fake denim.
That's Mateo. But see, Mateo, you haven't visited me in a while. Nobody's brought me any Mocadile cases, so really, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Well, Flo, thank you for inviting me to your birthday party. I will bring you a phone case.
Yes.
A Fenim phone case.
Yes.
Fenim sounds like a drug.
It does. Speaking of, there's no segue from that. So we are speaking about phones breaking. Now, I'm not buying any new phones. Obviously, I'm going to get this one fixed. I'll let you know all about it when that happens. And in the interim... No, I'm not buying an old Pixel because Google's not selling them anymore. Neither am I buying the purported mid-range Pixel 3A and 3A XL.
Or the 3XL.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry I missed that opportunity.
No, it's okay. I wanted a reason to like put my devil
horns. We went in deep on that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So
yeah. So theory is no more Pixel 2s and 2XLs because the 3A and 3A XL. Oh, it's not organic to me to think in that
3A.
manner.
3A.
Those are coming.
Yeah.
Those are coming.
Yeah.
Someday.
Well, who do you think has one?
Probably Hiroshi Lockheimer, our dear friend of the show, who recently tweeted a reference to an unreleased phone. So Hiroshi Lockheimer was hanging out with Bill at the Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard office, that's of Hewlett Packard, from the 60s, and says it was super cool, but I took pictures with unreleased phones, so I probably shouldn't share them here.
Oh, hey, Hiroshi. Hey,
it's been a while since Hiroshi's been on the show.
I know, he's so quiet these days. Welcome back, Hiroshi. It's good to hear from you.
Just talking, just showing off, hanging out at cool.
Unreleased phone.
Can we talk about Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard's office for a moment?
Sure. What do you want to say?
Just printers everywhere.
Really?
Just laser, that's a joke. Oh, well.
Meanwhile, I'm like, when did you go?
I would totally go.
I had no idea you went. You should have brought a phone that wasn't unreleased when you went.
I know. I would gladly go to Hewlett and Packard's office. Bay Area, Silicon Valley legends.
The monument for printers.
Yeah. May I make a shout out to Dieter Bohn of The Verge?
Yes.
Who probably had the best Twitter reply to that tweet I've ever seen.
What did he say? Oh, I see. Oh, come on, share just one photo. Maybe photo number 3. No, wait, the alternate version of photo 3. Call it 3A. There's a little ellipses down there. You almost miss it if you don't look hard enough for it. Possibly so.
But that's a great, great shout out to the rumor of the name of the device, the 3A and 3XL, 3A XL, which will be apparently the affordable Pixels.
Yeah.
To be released soon.
Does A stand for affordable?
Maybe. It could. Who the heck knows?
Who knows?
I can't wait to hear it explained. Yeah. Apple pie.
Yeah, the A stands for apple.
maybe we'll know what the A stands for at Google I.O. Mm.
Oh, maybe.
Also known as Flo and Mai's birthday party.
Yes.
In Mountain View. Mm-hmm. So we are less than 2 months away from Google I.O. 2019.
Less than a month?
Less than a month.
A month and a week.
Less than a month. I see. Time has no meaning to me anymore. So we are less than a month away. And so that means that Google has released the schedule. So anybody, inquiring minds that want to know what's going on at I.O. can check that out. And you can find out that the big keynote will happen on Tuesday, May 7th at 10 a.m., followed by a developer keynote. And then there's the usual session topics like material design, assistant, gaming, Chrome, etc. It's got how developers can tap into Android Q's system-wide dark mode, which, dark mode is all the rage. A deep dive into the newly announced Google Stadia gaming platform. Lots of stuff about AR integration in Google Maps, Linux and Chrome OS, a new platform called Google Coral for on-device AI and machine learning acceleration. Mm. And then, interestingly enough, there's an Android fireside chat at the very end of Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Oh, so don't think when you see the keynote that you don't have to stay till the very end. You got to stay till the end.
They put a really good thing at the very, very end.
Of course.
Yes.
Now, you might remember, was it last week or the week before, I predicted that we would find out more about Google Podcasts and what they're doing with audio. And I looked at the schedule, and at least in terms of what's been announced, the word podcast never shows up in the schedule. There are a couple of sessions about audio, specifically the audio assistant stuff that they announced a couple of weeks ago, like the accessibility stuff, as well as some audio processing kind of core programming stuff, but nothing about podcasts. But as we know, this is just a little bit of the schedule. They'll reveal more after the keynote.
Yeah.
So I could still be right. Who knows?
Yeah, I think you probably are right. They always open up a certain number of sessions after the keynote that have something to do with surprises, because we do not know everything. In fact, there will probably be a lot that we don't know during that keynote. Yeah. So
Matteo, are you going to Flo's birthday party?
It's still to be defined, but I just happen to be in the Bay Area that week.
Weird.
Weird.
It's an amazing coincidence.
Candace and I are
on vacation.
Oh, I was thinking maybe you were like part of the keynote and you just can't tell anyone.
That would be.
I would love to be. Shout out to Google if you are looking for someone to come on stage and talk about goats and Mockadile. Please let me know.
The secret goat project in Android Q.
We've been working really hard on Project Goat.
Hey, it's the greatest of all time.
Well, Matteo, if you do make it to the birthday party, you could probably see an interesting demo that's going to happen. The folks at 9to5 Google saw some code that points to an announcement around assistant functionality that reaches into Chrome for Android directly. So think about that for a second. Assistant in Chrome directly. So for example, you have a trip that the assistant knows about. You go to National Rental Car. It sends a command to assistant to pull in your trip information automatically to make booking easier in Chrome. So even deeper integration of assistant into Chrome, which looks to be like a big thing. Of course, this IO is going to be assistant again.
Once again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great for consumers who maybe aren't as used to Assistant. If they suddenly start having more functionality through the web, not native apps, I'm sure this will give it a great boost.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least until they shut Assistant down in 2 years.
Oh, great segue, Ron. Thank you. You basically served that one right up for me. Today is the day.
This is a big day.
That Google killed two products. Google Plus, may it rest in peace. We definitely need some music on this because Google Plus has been there through thick and thin. And we've run polls with Google Plus.
We've met wonderful people
through our community on Google Plus.
Look what's so sad. Victor, go to plus.google.com.
And going to plus.google.com, I think, tells you, why are you here?
This is gone. It's so sad. This is like the saddest
thing
ever.
No longer here. Yeah, Google Plus is no longer available for consumer, personal, and brand accounts.
From all of us on the Google Plus team, thank you for making Google Plus such a special place.
But get out of here.
What was the name of the exec that was all about Google Plus? What was his name?
Vikandotra?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where do you think he's upset?
Well, he left.
That was a mark.
Yeah, as soon as he left, that kind of was the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
because nobody was hired after him to like take over.
Do you think he goes drinking with his friends and he's just like, man, we could have done it. We could all this stuff with Facebook. We could have done it with Google Plus, man. They just didn't understand.
You could have been a contender, Google Plus.
Sergey didn't get it. And this new guy, Sundar, he just came out of nowhere.
Can I get another round of shots?
I love disgruntled Google.
It's so sad. So sad. I remember watching the launch of Google Plus on Twit on This Week in Google.
Yeah.
It was when they shut it down, it was a sad time for me. And it still is now. I met a lot of great people on Google Plus. The community was excellent.
People make careers on Google Plus, like on existing on that platform. They became so visible and so notable in Android and all that kind of
photography.
Stuff.
The photography was a huge area from it.
Yeah. So Google Plus, Dunzo. Also,
Facebook.
And this one hurts me right now. Google Plus, I'd let go of a long time ago. Inbox is really hard.
It is.
I'm gonna try not to cry.
Stay tuned for the arena, and I might have a solution for you, Jason.
Okay, I'll stay tuned for the arena,
but I'm going to mourn
the death of Inbox.
I know. Yeah. It's fair.
Inbox is just, it's a really great
email. It was really good. Gmail will never be that way unless...
Maybe it will.
Immediately flip it over.
But it isn't yet.
Yeah.
Here's two things about Gmail, and like I said, stay tuned for the arena. But number one, ironically, today is Gmail's 15th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they've got the little birthday kind of thing on the day that they kill Inbox, which is kind of funny.
Yay, look over there.
And number two, I got to say, the Gmail app on Android, the latest update is really darn good.
It is.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah.
It's better. So. It's not Inbox.
True.
And I hate to have to always go back to that, but it's just like you're replacing something that was really great with something that's just kind of, it slows me down. I don't like Gmail.
I got an earful from a coworker who like lived and died by Inbox, and he was like, Ron, why are they getting rid of it? Dude, I can't pin things in Gmail, and ranted for about 15 minutes, and I was like, oh geez, just an app.
but it is just an app, but at the same time, like, you build your entire workflow, like, email is one of the most critical things that we do. Love it or hate it, it just is. And when you build your workflow around that, and then that rug gets pulled out from under you, you're forced to take a look at everything else, and it's just not as good. I mean, it changes everything. So stay tuned for the arena because Ron might have a solution for you.
This changes everything, Jason.
Literally, for the worse.
Yes. But I will say Ron Amadio posted a really great article on Ars Technica. And we talked about this on the show in the past, but just this idea that trust around Google products is, you know, when this happens, it erodes further and further. And we saw evidence of that with the Stadia announcement, where Stadia is a really cool, interesting, different, powerful, you know, potentially very influential announcement that Google had around gaming, but yet it was definitely tempered with a lot of people that have just kind of hit their point with Google products to where when something great is announced by Google, their immediate thought is, yeah, but for how long? When does Google stop caring about this? Why should I buy into it? Because you just never know if you're on borrowed time. And
we said the same thing when we talked about Stadia. We're just like, this is great if they stick with it.
Yep. So
I don't know. Mateo, what do you make of it? Do you think Google can be trusted?
I think they do, and the decisions they make are obviously data-driven, but also they know that it's the right thing to do to move the resources from those products to other ones. I'm not too bashed by this, but probably because I'm not being scarred by the shutdown of Google Inbox. For some reason, it never really caught on with me, and I've always felt more comfortable in Gmail. And the more recent iterative updates to the Gmail app have made me happy, but I haven't really been a believer in Inbox. It hasn't made my life that much better for me to feel scarred or unhappy today.
Yeah. I understand.
Can I make an observation?
Yes.
I feel like we're being very cynical about all this instead of looking at the way the big picture, which is how Google has grown to become more of like a mainstream company. And I feel like a lot of these shutdown of things and reorganization of things is all in an effort to just make things more concise, have particular pockets for every certain thing without it being too vast. And I think I feel like the most complaints I hear are from us enthusiasts and super tech fans, and not so much if you were to ask a run-of-the-mill Google user, like they would have no idea that I don't think they would have any idea that Google Plus shut down. They would just be like, oh, that's gone? Oh, I wasn't even using that anyway. Yeah. Or even Inbox. I don't think a lot of people, because Inbox was not installed by default on Android devices. That was an extra thing you had to download. So you kind of had to know that that existed. And for us, I mean, we're diehard Google folks. We've been using this stuff for a long time. So we know about like Google Wave and Reader and all the things. But the people out there who Google really wants to use their products, like the main focus of these products, I don't think they really notice all this. I think we're cynical about it because we're seeing Google change a lot to be a bigger player. And I think it's just hard on us for that reason.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So,
very fair point.
Flo, that's a beautiful way of letting me know that I'm a normal person.
you're normal. We are, but it's just, I mean, look, I don't expect everybody to know everything about 90210 because nobody's watched as much as I have. So I feel same way about Android. Nobody that is as into it as I am. I mean, I'm breathing, eating, sleeping Android. So of course I know about all this stuff going on in Google's world, but
most people
with a Galaxy probably have no idea any of this is happening. They're just
they don't know what they're missing with Inbox.
But I do agree that there are things Inbox had that definitely need to be brought over to Gmail. I 100% agree.
I think, and I think it'll probably happen.
It would have been nice to have it at the get-go. Yeah. Like it's not fair to be teased like that and to have it taken away.
And Google's done that before, where they release something and then they do like a new version of it where these features are taken away, and then somewhere down the line they're added back in as if they're brand new features. And that's just kind of annoying if you notice it, like if you like those features.
When you think about Google Wave, for instance, like that whole back end, is integrated into Google Docs. Like the article that came out in the Atlantic a couple weeks ago about how the kids are using Google Docs now. Mm-hmm. That's just the way Google Wave was supposed to be used. But instead of it being a separate thing, it's just a part of Google Docs. So I think
it lives on.
Google has a bigger plan for us. I think we just like don't know what it is right now. We just need to like have faith and trust the process.
Trust in Google. Trust in Google. Do you trust Google to come up with a name for Android Q?
So we actually got some lovely emails just kind of opening our eyes to some other desserts around the world. This has been really fun because we've been introduced to all these new desserts maybe we didn't know about because of our very like narrow-minded like America brain, which is fair, and so we always appreciate when folks come out of the woodworks and go, hey, this is actually a thing. So our first letter comes from Corey K, who writes, the answer to Android Q's name is quite easy. Now I looked this up today. Let me read you the whole note and then I'll play you the translation. So the answer to Android Q's name is quite easy. It will be Karkbalchen. Quarkballs. This is your traditional German snack, very similar to donuts, made from a yogurt-like fresh cheese. Essentially, they are the German version of donut holes and are quite delicious.
Those look really good.
By the way, did you ever think that Google has no idea what to call these versions and they use the community to come up with name ideas? Well, Corey, if they are, you gave them an idea.
Yeah.
Although I wonder how many of us will be able to say this. Let's see. I'm going to hold this up to the... Let's see if this works. Kackbacon.
Kackbacon.
Kackbacon is how you say it in German.
Introducing Android Kackbacon.
Kackbacon. I'm sorry to everyone who speaks German out there. I speak a lot of languages, Mateo.
You're waving your hand as if you know how to say this properly.
Yes, please. I'm going to go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole here.
Oh boy!
And say that if they choose this name, this is the best way to make friends in the EU and maybe get a discount on those massive fines they've been given recently.
There it is.
Mateo, that's right. In Brussels, this would be very, very cool to do in Brussels, wouldn't it?
Who better to make friends with than the Germans to get a discount on your fines in the EU?
Have you had Quarkballs before?
Not that I'm aware.
I have. They're really good.
Are they?
They're really yummy.
Kackbalchen?
Kackbalchen. I'm sorry to all the Germans out there. We also have another email from Jim, and this is about a Q dessert from another part of the world. This one's from Puerto Rico, but I also found that it's there's a recipe in Colombia as well. So you continue to debate a name for Android Q, but I never heard why... You originally discounted quesito, a cheese-filled pastry from Puerto Rico. Ron was originally bullish on the idea, saying that it checked a lot of boxes, and I agree. Cheese, sugar, pastry syrup, and drawing attention to Puerto Rico, which is still trying to recover from Hurricane Maria, sound like sufficient reasons to make quesito the front runner for this next version of Android. I'm sure you would enjoy taste testing these once a week until Android R.
I
found that some of these come with jam in them, or I guess like a fruit filling. So, I went and I found those images earlier when I saw them.
Very nice.
Let me look up there.
Very nice. Yes. Love it. Both desserts look really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean,
I can't wait to see what they come up with. I think they have no clue what they're going to do.
Watch, it's quick. So. And then they'll be like, really?
Yeah.
And it'll be that rabbit will just come out at like Google I.O. They'll just have the stuffed person, you know, a person in a rabbit suit.
Somebody on Reddit I saw posted a theory that because Q is so difficult, if you look at the Android Q logo, the Q actually looks like the numbers 1 and 0 for 10, so that maybe it'll just end up being Android 10, and that they'll just go the super boring route.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's...
I don't know why they do that, because it's Android 9, but anyways, that was their theory.
Wait, is it?
Isn't it?
No, we're on Android 9.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so Android 10.
If it's Android 10, I look forward to the brand's tie-up with my favorite gin brand, Tanqueray, because they have a very good gin called Tanqueray 10.
Mateo and I have the same gin.
Android After Dark. All right, we got to move this show along. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's thank the sponsor, and then we will get into the Hardware Shack. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by CashFly, so you can give your users the seamless online experience that they want. You can power your site or your app with CashFly, which is just an awesome CDN, content delivery network. That's going to enable you to be 30% faster than your competition. No matter what industry your business is in, if your website is directly tied to company revenue, give your customers the fast downloads that they need, and you can get that with CashFly. CashFly CDN delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods, up to 30% faster than other major CDNs. Backed by 100% SLA, CashFly guarantees the best user experience for all your customers, no matter where they are or what device they happen to be on. So you can join the thousands of others who trust CashFly's reliable network, including LG, Microsoft, Adobe, Ars Technica, of course, Twit. We've been using CashFly for years. Leo said, you know, we literally would not exist. Twit would not exist without CashFly. Each month, our viewers, our listeners download petabytes of data fast and flawlessly thanks to CashFly, because that's how we host all of our podcasts, audio and video, all of it on CashFly for nearly a decade. Say goodbye to logging in multiple times a week or worse, even daily, trying to track your CDN usage. No billing spikes. You get a custom plan tailored to your CDN needs based on yearly usage trends. And on average, customers who switch to CashFly save more than 20%. So you can, I'm sure, imagine what you could do with that 20% and also all that time that you save. And just for Twit listeners, CashFly is giving away a complimentary detailed analysis of your current CDN bill and usage trends, so you can see if you're overpaying 20% or more for CDN, and learn more by going to twit.cashfly.com. That's twit.cashfly.com. And we thank CashFly for their support of All About Android. And it's been a while. It's time to hop into the shack, the Hardware Shack.
Can you hear me audibly groan?
Yeah, oh yeah, I heard that. There was definitely a groan there. So, Mateo.
Thank you, Victor, again.
you're going to get a good trade, I can already tell. The internet has been abuzz. Suddenly it exploded. Everybody had their articles about how gall darn amazing the Huawei P30 Pro is as a, well, maybe as a phone, but definitely as a camera.
Those low light shots alone that people have been posting against the Pixel, yow!
Not just low light, but also zoom. I saw a really interesting video that focused in, no pun intended.
Get it, focused.
No pun intended. on the zooming capabilities of this thing, and it's like redonkulous.
If I do to digital zoom, right?
If I do say so myself. So tell us, what do you think? You have the Huawei P30 Pro, is that right?
Yes, I have the Huawei P30 Pro, which is the flagship of the P30 series this year from Huawei, and I'm blown away by the camera. So I'll give credit where it's due. Vlad Savov of The Verge did a great article on the low light bits, and we'll let him cover that. But I'd say in normal daylight, in normal use, where I haven't been going out of my way to test it in low light, I'm blown away by all three cameras on the device. Now, I say three because Huawei sell this device as a quad camera device. One of them is a time-of-flight sensor, so it's not a proper camera in of itself, but it does help the others through software to better understand what's in depth, what's in moving, what isn't. So obviously, Victor was showing the Verge article by Vlad about the low light, comparing it to the Pixel 3 XL, and it really does make a difference in the light. Huawei are saying that one of the ways they've made the Huawei P30 Pro better in low light is that they've made a fundamental change to the way the camera sensor works. So for those of you who don't know, digital camera sensors are by nature monochrome. They're black and white. And to get color on the sensor, they have a filter before the black and white sensor. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, those are red, green, and blue RGB sensors, which then, with the black and white and shades of grey, the monochrome sensor, get put together to figure out what the colours are. With the Huawei P30 Pro, Huawei have made this fundamental change where the sensor is a red, yellow, yellow, blue sensor filter, which means that it will give you apparently up to 40% more light gets captured by the sensor with the same lens. As well as that, Huawei have made a periscope camera. That's the one, if you look at it closely, it's the one at the end of the camera module, near the Leica brand, which has a periscope, which means the sensor is quite far off from the lens itself and gets filtered by five lenses. That's an 8-megapixel sensor that gives you 5 times optical zoom. Then using the other lenses and Huawei's clever software, that can give you 10 times lossless zoom. So I see the links are ready in the docket. If you go to the first Google Photos album that I prepared for this show, you'll see there's a picture of Edinburgh. I believe this isn't the wide, or is this? No, this is the wide angle.
Wide, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a wide angle shot where it just highlights how good the high dynamic range is even in that one sensor. That's the sun behind the clouds in Edinburgh. And it does a really good job of not blowing out the sky. It actually detects clouds and gives you good definition on the buildings.
Yeah, it does.
So moving on to the next one, you see the one-time zoom. The dynamic range is even better. There's a lot more detail on things, but you don't have as wide a shot. It's the usual trade-off, but it's good to have the choice in a modern smartphone. And then if you go to the next one, this is using 5 times optical zoom on that 8-megapixel sensor. No loss of detail. What is a tiny detail in the wide-angle shot becomes a good shot of the statue in the distance. And if you zoom in again, there should be a 10 times optical zoom shot, just the bust of the statue. Again, very good definition. This is a hybrid shot. It's a hybrid shot, but for most consumers, this is as good as optical zoom because it's taking the information from more than one sensor, putting it together and processing it to give you as good as a normal optical zoom shot at 10 times. It's not perfect, but for most users, this is more than enough. This is yet another reason for the average consumer to say, well, I don't need a camera anymore. My phone is good enough. And Victor, if you go to the next shot, I've just highlighted the 50 times. This is all digital crop, but it's in the camera interface. You can zoom in all to 50 times and see the face on the statue and the seagull poop on the statue as well.
Good. We needed to see that. Yeah.
It's impressive. If you go back to the wide angle shot and then look at how far in it can zoom 50 times, this is impressive. I'm really impressed by this.
You're really far there.
Exactly. That's so that's with a wide angle lens, but still it's quite a distance to be able to get that amount of detail with a mix of digital and optical zoom. Now, if you go to the next album, we can play a game here. I deliberately set this up because I knew I was going to be on All About Android. If you go to the wide angle shots, this is the Champs-Élysées in Paris. This is near where the Huawei P30 series launch was. And it's a wide-angle shot of this amazingly busy and complicated roundabout with a very ornate center. As you can see, nice dynamic range, nice shot. If you go to the next one, you'll see one-time optical zoom, so no magnification, no zoom. Still very good detail. The moving cars get captured well. Moving on to the next shot, you may not notice it here, but I've put a little special thing in there. A lot of detail here. You can actually see the marble, the dirt on the marble. And that's 5 times optical zoom coming out of that periscope camera. And if you go to the next shot, You'll probably see it here, but this is a detail of people there. And in the last shot, at 50 times optical zoom, I masterfully placed a banana for scale.
Banana for scale, which is...
Oh, jeez.
Applause, sir. Well applause. Well done.
You went very far for that one. Thank you.
Literally, so far.
So far, 50 times far. So,
yeah.
I estimate that this took me around about 2 kilometers of walking to do, because that's an amazingly complicated roundabout. And to get the Champs-Élysées, the Arc de Triomphe on Champs-Élysées at the right angle in the right sun, it took a lot of walking through tunnels and around the square.
And no one took the banana, surprisingly.
Yeah. I went and took that banana back.
Oh.
It's your banana.
It's my banana, and yeah. I reused it in the following shot and then ate it. So, right. I have another
multi-use
example.
Multi-use banana.
You do what you got to do with the banana. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, banana efficiency. So this is a wide-angle shot of a lovely park in Paris, not far from the Arc de Triomphe that we were looking at earlier. Nice urban setup. Lots of detail in this wide-angle shot. The dynamic range, again, is quite good considering the sky was bright and it was a little bit dark in the park. The zoom at 1x optical is obviously closer to a normal shot, but still a very good camera shot. Zooming in to 5x, you can see a statue. That lots of detail there from the 5x optical zoom, mm-hmm. from something that was just a mere detail in the wide-angle shot lens. And zooming in to 10x optical zoom, you'll see the statues there, and if you're looking very carefully, you can see the banana for scale. Uh-huh. And last one, the 50x optical zoom, you can see the banana sitting on the statue.
Resting on the statue.
Before.
Ready, yes. Ready to be eaten.
Yes. Yeah.
Giving you a clear indication of how large the statue is.
So these photos, all bananas aside, these photos look really good. And like the zoom is like, you're not going to use a 50x zoom and expect it to look amazing, which it doesn't. But the fact that it can jump in that far, it's striking. Like
in a phone
variety.
That size. Yeah.
In a phone that
size. It shows
size.
How far we've come.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Huawei have really thrown it out of the ballpark with this with this camera setup. The optical image stabilization is excellent, even at 5x optical zoom. You don't have much shake. 50x digital zoom, that's where it's really difficult to focus on an object. It sure. becomes quite a challenge there. But I would say overall, I'm blown away by this camera. Not only that, overall, it's a great smartphone. It feels really nice to hold, as well as looking gorgeous with that breathing crystal color. It's breathing crystal. Hmm. My colleague, the chief aperture officer of Tech Travel Geeks, he has ordered the Aurora color, which is a mix between last year's Twilight and... I don't know if you're aware of the Honor cut glass backs
I remember.
Iridescent. Mm-hmm. Victor, at the top, there's a YouTube video that we put together just highlighting the looks and feels of the device. It's right next to the P30 Pro link.
Is this it?
Right now. I'll pop that too. It's just, it shows in this video, we show how reflective it is. It's very difficult to describe in words because there's this gradient between purple and white. And I think Michael Fisher, the Mr. Mobile, had a great description of this on Twitter, which was, it's a mix between dilithium crystals and unicorn kisses.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to describe in words, but it's breathtaking in person to see, and it also looks good to those looking at it. And that's one of the good things. Huawei include a case in the box, so you're less likely to have a disastrous drop. then it also, there's also quite a selection of cases, both available from Huawei and third-party retailers. On the front, Huawei have done a good job of iterating upon the Mate 20 Pro screen, so it's curved edges at front and back. It has a water drop notch at the front. The screen is lovely. It's a full high definition plus one, but honestly, in day-to-day use, I don't notice the difference with the QHD one on the Mate 20 Pro or even the QHD one on my Pixel 3 XL. For normal use, there's no real reason to have a higher resolution screen, unless obviously you would like to use this for VR purposes. I'd say the storage options are very good. They start at 8 gigabytes. There's also 256 gigabytes and 512. All these are expandable with Huawei's new standard of memory card called Nano Memory Card. And that goes in the second SIM slot. So the SIM card tray takes two nano SIMs or one nano SIM and a nano memory card, which is a great option. They haven't really killed expandable storage as we thought they had with the P20 Pro last year. So overall, my first week with the device, I'm blown away, and I've started migrating all my phone number related services onto the P30 Pro. So high praise from me. I'm really won over by this device.
Yeah, sadly, you're not alone.
Those of you in the US will have a bit of a challenge getting your hands on one. But then again, that's part of the current situation with Huawei in the US.
Right. It is indeed. It's a big uphill battle right now for Huawei. And for anyone interested in like just, you know, politics aside, just wants to get their hands on cutting edge technology, or, you know, what I've read from a lot of people who have used this phone, that they say this is the best camera phone out there. So, you know, certain technology enthusiasts are going to want to get their hands on that regardless of any of the stuff happening in the US. So might have to work a little bit harder to make that happen, it sounds like.
Yeah. Another thing that I haven't mentioned yet, the battery life. This is a 4,200 milliamp hour battery, but MUI and the optimizations they've made on that and Android Pi leave me flabbergasted about how good the battery life is. Mm-hmm. So I can use this device for normal use in a day and ends my day at about 6, 7 p.m. at around about 60, 70% battery life.
Wow.
Which for me is unseen.
Yeah. Wow, that's really impressive. Huawei P30 Pro, are you going to have like a full review on Tech Travel Geeks, or where do you want people
yes.
to go for that?
So our current content is on YouTube, on the Tech Travel Geeks YouTube channel. We have the full unboxing and our hands-on video and first impressions video. That's obviously lots of hard work has gone into that from our chief aperture officer, Lukasz. Mm-hmm. But it is a where we're doing most of the content, but the full written review and the full video review will be out in about a month, because we want to really use this as our main device for a while.
Absolutely.
And it won't just be me. Lukasz will be having one as well.
Right on.
So,
cool. Check that out. So we have a couple of other things from you. We're low on time. So give us kind of like a quick look at the Huawei P Smart 2019, another phone that we probably won't get here in the US. I don't think there are any plans for that, but what is this all about?
Yes, so this is the actual opposites end of the portfolio spectrum for Huawei. The P Smart 2019 is an affordable Android smartphone. It's not made out of glass, it's made out of plastic on the back, but at less than £200 sterling, or less than $250 US, you get a lot of smartphone. So it's the same chipset, the Kirin 710, the same chipset we saw in the Huawei Mate 20 Lite last year that I brought onto the show when I was in studio. And the overall experience on the smartphone for most users will be indistinguishable than that on a true flagship. For the price, you get a lot of smartphone, and a lot of retailers in Europe are doing some excellent deals on it with subsidies from Netwerk. So you can get it for as little as £150 or less than $200 if you go on a pay-as-you-go or a prepay plan at the time of purchase. The fingerprint scanner is very, very fast. It's very good. The camera is a bit of a trade-off, but for the price range is a very good one. The battery life is another really good thing that Huawei have really optimized on this low-end, relatively low-end device. It's a very good overall experience. I would say the only time I've had any issues with it is when playing Pokemon Go and then switching to another app, for example, Hangouts, to then message someone and then go back to Pokemon Go. MUI is a bit aggressive in its memory management because the Huawei P Smart only has 3 gigabytes of RAM that's handled by the software gracefully, but for some users that may be annoying. Mm-hmm. But I'd say overall great value for a very affordable device, and you get a good battery life, which is one of the highlights of what Huawei are doing. And lastly, for Matteo's hardware shack, the Xiaomi A2 Lite. This is a device I brought into the studio last year when I was last in studio. We did a quick overview and review of that. Now, when I was in Paris for the Huawei event, it was quite sad to see the shops all with smashed in windows because of the recent rioting. Mm. And one of the shops that was damaged quite badly was the Xiaomi one, to the point that they've had to close the ground floor of the Xiaomi store in Champs-Élysées. And they have slightly more limited stock as a result. But if Victor opens the first picture, you can see the front end of this flagship store in the center of Paris is all boarded up because it was sadly hit in these riots. But then one of the things they offer in the store is laser engraving. And I just happened to have my Xiaomi A2 Lite with me on the day I was there. And one of the services they offer at the store, which I wasn't aware of, is laser engraving of your Xiaomi product if the back is made of glass. So it's not made of glass or ceramic. So in this case, I took my A2 Lite, which has a metal back, and had it laser engraved. And I just found it amusing that they actually went ahead with allowing me to engrave. My other Android smartphone is a Huawei on the back of my Xiaomi A2 Lite.
Wow.
Wow.
A++ trolling, Matteo. A++.
Thank you. But I think it's actually a testament to how good the Xiaomi A2 Lite is that I'm still using it for travel. The battery life is really, really good. It has a 3.5mm audio jack or a Courage port. Mm-hmm. So I am still using this device and using it when traveling. And so I think that it's a bit of tongue-in-cheek. And it highlights that this Android One Xiaomi A2 Lite is still a valid device for most people. It's very affordable at this point in time. It's less than $150. And you get plenty of storage, expandable storage, and very good battery life.
So I'm looking at the engraving, and the engraving quality looks really good. Someone in chat said, they fooled you. They didn't center it, LOL. Is that true? I'm trying to figure out if it's just the way that this is skewed in the shot, but it does kind of look like it's off-center.
It was centered with the laser pointer that they had on the engraving tool. It's probably I've skewed it slightly by angling the smartphone so that the engraving is shown a bit more. But that's the aluminium, and I'm going to say aluminium with stress on the eye there. That's the aluminium engraving makes it look as if it's almost photoshopped on there.
It does. It totally very, looks very sharp.
But I have the actual device here. It is the real engraving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty centered to me. I don't know. Maybe my eyes aren't a little on the left.
It's okay. It adds to its charm.
Yes.
Yes. This is definitely my smartphone now.
Right on. That's cool. I like it. That, my friends, was Matteo's Hardware Shack. Matteo, Thank you so much for that and for walking us through all that.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. But you're not going anywhere. Stick around. We've got more hardware to come after this important break from Ron Richards.
Yes, Mateo, it's always a delight, and it's also a delight to thank our next sponsor, LegalZoom, for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, running a small business is a lot of work. I know. I've been a small business person. It's tough. It takes time and money, and you want all the time and money you have to go towards growing your business. But what happens when legal hurdles pop up along the way? Thankfully, LegalZoom is there to help. Nearly 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs, incorporation, and more. Even after your business is set up, LegalZoom can still help you out. Things like agreements, changing tax laws, and contract reviews are all part of running your own business. And these are precisely the kinds of costly hurdles that take time away from growing your business. That's why LegalZoom created their business legal plan. Get advice for running your business from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in all 50 states. The best part is you won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom is not a law firm. And listen, what I love about LegalZoom is that a lot of the stuff I've done with small businesses has been me, maybe one or two other people. We really got to focus on what we all do well, and none of us are lawyers. None of us know how to navigate legal stuff. So when you've got to do a contract, when you need to do an agreement, when you got to do a lease, you know, signing a rental lease for an office space, it's still a legal binding document. You want to get some professional help. LegalZoom is there to help when you need it, help you navigate all that jargon and force majeure and things like that. I didn't know what words like infringement and indemnify meant until I started working with people who actually knew legal information. And thankfully, LegalZoom has tons of them. So listen, make your time and money work for you. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com now and get special savings when you enter AAA at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com and enter AAA for special savings. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
Thank you, LegalZoom. All right, we got more hardware. This is hardware that we don't actually have in our hands. Therefore, it doesn't qualify as a hardware shack. It's just more hardware. Mm-hmm.
More goats.
No goats. Yeah. Yeah, it's... Wait.
Oh, come on.
Jeez.
Okay. Where did you find that stock footage of that girl just like...
I'm going to be honest. It's getting awkward. That one Victor crossed the line, I think.
It was really good.
It was a little too affectionate.
I fear for the future because there might be more. Who the heck knows?
The show's a little late in the day. You know, I got to do some right. Earlier on in the day.
Victor, man,
you got to wake us up somehow.
What you do in your spare time is your own business, sir. You and Mateo, you can share your goat stock photos. But on the show, let's keep it to Android, right?
All right, I'll keep it to Android. I'll give you some Android. Actually, I don't know if this is Android, but whatever. It qualifies for the most part. Yes. Google apparently by accident updated its store page to include an unannounced product, something called the Nest Hub Max, which is essentially, as far as I can tell, like a Google Home Hub with a Nest camera built into it and larger.
Ooh.
Right? They had this like whole interface where you could like take a look at a smart home. And if you hovered over these areas, instead of saying Google Home Hub, it would say Google Nest Hub Max, which is a product that they have not announced, but apparently it has a 10-inch HD screen, stereo speakers, a built-in Nest Cam for motion and sound wow. alerts. Also, that you know brings a camera to the Home Hub
wow.
family, so you could do duo
this
video
gonna
calls.
This is going to be expensive.
I'm thinking it's going to be expensive.
Let's hope that when they put it back on the store, they have a new name.
Yeah,
you don't
I was
like
just thinking the
Nest
same
Hub
thing.
Max?
It was not
the Google Nest Hub Max. Come on, yeah. it's like they put all these terms and keep buzzwords into a hat and pull them
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it sounds like a men's deodorant.
is there a 5G version?
I don't know. Should there be?
No, there's
because
no 5G.
Because then they can add the 5G at the end.
Here. That's all.
No,
ruse.
But then they could add the 5G at the end.
Here's a controversial
Maybe
statement.
Plus.
Here's a controversial statement. Yes. They should get rid of the Nest brand. Why?
That's controversial.
Why? But why?
Because it's I don't have a good reason. I don't have a good reason.
If you're going to sell the Google Home and Google Home Mini and Google Home Hub, and you're going to sell a Nest thermostat and a Nest Cam owned by Google, it's just confusing. Just call it the Google Cam, call it the Google Thermostat, Google Home Hub Max, you know, and just do Google Home as a brand. Just get rid of Nest. There's no brand value anymore in 2019.
Yeah. That's a really good point,
I would say there's a lot of brand equity in Nest. And also, if a lot of consumers, particularly in the US, hear that there's a Google in front of it, they may make the assumption that it doesn't work with their iPhone, iPad, iMac, etc. I think the Nest brand has a place in the market at this point in time until Google gets strong enough and manages to communicate that Google products do work with iPhones.
I don't know, man. Nest, it's funny. I just Googled Nest brand value, right? Just to see what the results would be in Google. And in the little people also ask box, the first question is Nest owned by Amazon?
Oh, I see. Ron is making a good point. Amazon is just gobbling up companies left and right and then just putting them under the arm. So why doesn't Google do the same? I understand you, Ron.
Yeah.
I understand. That's a good point.
I don't know. They bought it. They bought it 5 years ago. Since 2014, I don't see a ton of innovation or value around the Nest brand that give it the same gravitas it had 5 years ago.
That's true. Yeah. It's true. It does seem like it's kind of, faded a little bit. Yeah. As far as that's concerned.
You know what's fading for me?
What?
Just a segue here. The ThinQ brand.
Really?
From LG.
I'm still kind of perplexed on what ThinQ actually is.
I am too. But that isn't stopping LG from launching phones with ThinQ affixed there at the end. So LG, if you remember back to MWC a while back, which now feels like eons ago, previewed the G8 ThinQ. And now there are pricing and availability. So, yes, I know we were all like swooped up in the Galaxy S10 stuff, but now it's LG's time. So pre-orders have been underway as of March 29th. It is now April 2nd as we are doing this. So we've had a couple days in the US.
It will release
on April 11th, which is next Thursday. All major carriers will carry it. It will be sold $820 unlocked. The inside, just some quick runoff. Snapdragon A55 processor, 6 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, 6.1-inch quad HD plus OLED display, dual rear cameras, 3,500 milliamp battery, micro SD slot, and it comes with Android 9 Pie right out of the box. The special little quirk of this is what is called the Z camera. Now, this is a front facing camera used for in the air gestures for device control, things like snap a photo or whatever kind of thing. or things like switch between apps, control the volume, take a screenshot, answer a call. This phone also does vein scanning for authentication.
Ew, what is that?
So if you like hold your hand over the camera, it can detect the veins in your hands, and that's how it determines you are who you say you are.
You see, I was about to go on a whole rant about miming with your phone to use the gestures, but then you said vein scanning, and then I just veered off into gross land.
Yeah, don't go there.
At least it's not intravenous.
I want to log into my phone.
I mean, that said, do you remember a few years ago those RFID implants were like that was going to be the future? Right. And so if you had the ability to implant a little chip in your hand that will unlock every phone you own and only you for the rest of your life, would you do it?
I don't think so.
I might.
I knew it.
I might.
I don't think I'd do that.
I think it'd be kind of a cool party trick.
Would you go for the invasive RFID installation in your hand?
Maybe.
It depends on how that would affect my Google ranking or whatever the next social thing is, your social value.
Yeah, 10 points.
Prescribed by your behavior.
10 extra points.
I would think it would increase your value.
I'm all in. Any Google juice I can get.
it would increase your value because you would be like 1/17th part robot.
Yeah, totally. Easier to track. No, I would do that. Because
yeah, why am you're
I
right, They would try the government. Which
why would I put
me.
Technology inside of me with on the promise of this will be your identification for the rest of your life? Like, technology just doesn't work like that. Like,
I know,
it's
right?
going to do that for like the next 5 years, maybe.
for two years until Google shuts it down.
So is that what we have to tell people when they freak out about surveillance in the future? It's like, don't worry. Whatever they decide to surveil you with will be out of touch and out of date in 3 years.
Totally.
Although I'll tell you, in 20 years, the Nest hand implant will still be rolling. Nest will just
Nest by Google hand implants.
Yeah. You'll be able to turn on the heating or the air conditioning with a click of your hands.
Yes.
Yes. You just snap of a finger and then RFID.
Or a flick of your S Pen. And if you're looking for that S Pen use, look at that as a segue. But no, if you're looking for a new tablet, Samsung recently quietly released its new smaller tablet, the Galaxy Tab 8A. There's another 8A, like the 3A. I wonder if there's an 8A XL. The Galaxy Tab 8A is an 8-inch tablet that's got a display resolution of 1920 by 1200 LCD display. It gets the aforementioned S Pen using previous generation S Pens that don't require charge. It's running on an Exynos 7904. It's got an 8-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front camera, 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, micro SD slot, USB-C, 4200 milliamp battery, LTE. And it's going to be available in Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, New Zealand, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, the UK via Carphone Warehouse, and Vietnam. So if you're in any of those places, you can get it. No pricing or date yet, but it's coming. So everyone in Vietnam, meet your new tablet.
And New Zealand.
And the UK.
I want Vietnam. So...
I'd say this is a nice premium competitor to Amazon's Fire 10 tablets. There is still a place in the market for these devices, especially for families with children where they want to have good parental controls, and also people who just like sitting on the sofa watching TV but want to keep an eye on what's happening on the internet. I think this is a good product, and it seems to be going by the other Tab A series pricing for devices, seems to be in the £100 to £150 or sub $200 price range. So I think this is going to be interesting to see if it gets used much for content consumption in particular.
What would you say the longevity of a device like this is? You buy it for like 200. 2 years, and then at that point, it's just kind of chugging along.
Well,
like,
at that point, you're not getting security updates, and
it's a 2 year device.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult to tell because I'm spoilt by my Amazon Fire tablet. I have a Fire 7, which is now coming up to being 4 years old, and it still gets software updates from Amazon.
Wow.
Those things are going to be like cockroaches. The post-apocalyptic digital landscape is going to be littered with Fire tablets.
Yes, I mean, at the price they're at, they're really affordable. Yeah. And I love mine for travel because it fits in a jacket pocket. It's not too big. And the battery life is epic. Audible works on it beautifully. And it's good for sitting with on the sofa. So I'm still a believer in tablets.
I know so many parents who have bought those for their kids. They're just disposable tablets, right?
I did, but I sent it back.
Oh, well, you're a special kind of parent.
I'm special. it didn't work for me. But I understand why parents like it. I think my kids were just, they knew what it was like on the other side. They knew normal Android, and so it was hard.
Anywho, at least they know Android.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I felt like it was my duty. It was my duty as one of the hosts of All About Android to make sure my kids know about Android. And now it's time for the arena brace for the drop and see if there's a goat there. Oh, my God.
But only one lives.
He really just kind of went for it this week, you guys.
This episode is a goat takeover.
We need to start getting Big Goat on this to like give us money because this is getting ridiculous. Big Goat.
I'm surprised Big Goat hasn't caught on to this yet already. And I wouldn't be surprised if one Mr. Mateo is not on Big Goat's payroll, as it were.
So, excuse my ignorance, but what is Big Goat?
Oh, you know who Big Goat is. You can't ask too many questions.
Yeah.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Yeah, Big Goat. You know.
Is it safe to Google?
It's Big Goat is in cahoots with Big Banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big
Wait, I see pictures of Big Goat, but no pictures of Big Goat with banana for scale. So that may
It might be an American joke, Mateo. The idea.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sorry. Like, it's a capitalist joke.
Yeah, like the
like big data. Big tech.
Big dairy.
Big dairy, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Right, I understand it now. Thank you.
Big corn. Big Google. You know. All right, let's do the arena.
Big
let's
arena. See,
let's look at last week's results, Jason.
Big arena. This is last week. All right, so looking at the poll, and it looks like Lightbeam wins 59.36%.
It was
my app. That was
Ron's app. No, was it?
It was a video chat that also you could cast your screen to the people you're video chatting with.
Oh, that is a good one. Sorry.
That's how you win the arena with reactions like that.
Oh, my goodness. So Ron wins kind of finally moving on from your drought after.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
You're back for this 1 week only. HealthSync was my app. Second place, 28.88%. Third place was Energy Ring.
Oh, was that the one that goes around the whole of the...
Yeah. See, while that's a fun novelty app, very limited audience.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to do well. So because of that, I have broken my bad streak. I'm back, baby. Although I am still in last place. I've got 23 points. Jason's in third with 29 points. And Flo and the guests are tied for first with 37 points. But, you know, I'm climbing back from the basement. It's good to be back. Thank you, Wade County, for the standings.
All right. So... Flo, you were out. That means you go first.
Okay. All right. Jason, do you mind if I use you for this demo?
Sure.
Okay. So have your WhatsApp at the ready.
Okay.
And Victor, that I'm going to need you to switch over when I send him a WhatsApp, okay? All right. Just want to prepare everybody so there's no surprises.
Does this come into our direct chat in WhatsApp? Is that what I'm looking for?
I'll probably send it to you individually, but yes, it'll come.
Okay.
I don't want to bother Ron with this.
Okay.
So I have brought to the arena today Firefox Send. Now, this is technically an unreleased app, but it's like in development. It's in the store. You can use it. And what it's used for is an incredible utility. So I would say go and check it out and download it if you need this utility. I'm often sending folks links and things from my Dropbox, from my Google Drive. And I find that stuff just kind of gets lost in the ether after a while. And then I just have this like thing that's sitting in my cloud accounts. And I don't want that anymore. I would like something that would expire. So Firefox Send lets you do that. Basically, it lets you share files with end-to-end encryption, and it sends off a link to the other person that automatically expires. You set the time, and you can also set whether to password protect it if you want, or if you are sending some super secret infos. Okay, so let us show you now what you can do. The cool thing about this is that you can share up to 2 gigabytes of stuff. 2.5 gigabytes with a free Firefox account or 1 gigabyte. Okay, now that you got that, I'm going to show you how this works. So first, we're going to turn down the brightness because I think
my eyes are burning.
Yeah, this is a Samsung phone, so the phone's much brighter than the pixels I've been bringing here. All right, so I'm going to send a file. So I'm going to not send that. I'm going to send this thing that says Happy Easter in Romanian. I'm going to send that to Jason. I'm going to wish him a happy Easter. So we're going to select here. You can select multiple files if you'd like. Which is kind of exciting. So I will send another picture of church.
Great, thank you. I collect those.
Sure. So you can choose when it expires, after how many downloads, up to 100 downloads. I'm going to let Jason download this twice, just in case he loses it the first time. And then I'm going to choose an expiration. So you can do 5 minutes or up to 7 days. I'm going to give Jason a day to download this, okay? He doesn't need more than that.
Thank you.
I'm not going to set a password because maybe you want to share it with somebody. And now I'm going to upload. So now it's uploading into a handy zip file. And now I am not going to copy the link. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click OK. And now I'm going to share the link. So now, Victor, is when you would. So now I'm going to send this to.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yes. So I got that down at the bottom. And then I tap it. Oh, I think I've selected something with my other hand. Okay, so tap it, download. Chrome needs storage access. Okay, go ahead, sure. Did that work? Or I probably have to do it again now. So I'll tap it. Or did it already download? Oh, did it?
Oh, yeah, your download should be in the...
I missed the toast message.
Yeah.
Hey, is that what you sent me?
I actually sent you that earlier. I actually uploaded that earlier. I sent you something else. I sent you the wrong link.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's fine.
This link has expired.
It still works.
So because I've clicked through on it once.
It's done.
Yeah. So that was the link.
That was another link I set up earlier today, actually. Sorry, I sent you the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is the one that I just got from you.
Okay.
So it gives me this, which says that it's expired. But that's because I just downloaded it. Mm-hmm. So you sent me the different one. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's all good.
Yeah. It's all good.
It's all good. That is Firefox Send. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
It's free. It's free and it's in development. So enjoy.
Right on. Firefox Send. Gotta love it when an app like that is free. I've got a free app for you. And actually, this comes, I have to give credit to Mike Reif, who emailed in to say, hey, saw that you were featuring Health Sync, which is the app that I brought last week. That's how you sync between Samsung Health to Google Fit or to Fitbit or all these different different places.
That's the world we live in.
Yeah, unfortunately. He says, I have a Fitbit One, and I'm using an app called Fit to Fit by Tom Tights. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. To copy my Fitbit data to Google Fit. Fit to Fit has an auto-sync feature and a whole bunch of other things. So thank you, Mike, for pointing this app out to me. I'll show it off. I do not have a Fitbit, but I'll show off the app nonetheless. This is Fit to Fit, and it can handle all sorts of things. When you set it up, you know, it can handle steps, activities, distances, heart rate, sleep, weight, body fat, food, water, and it's all about syncing from your Fitbit app over to Google Fit, or your Fitbit stats over to Google Fit. So you set it up. You can go in the settings and set up auto sync if you like, and there are settings around determining how often that happens. Is it something that happens every day, or do you want it to happen, you know, every half hour, however aggressive you want that to be, when it happens, all that kind of stuff. Or you can just have it as a manual thing. So you go in here and you can transfer data manually. You just hit transfer and you tell it and it goes. And they even have in the settings a way to set up a daily notification. It's like a reminder notification. So if you're dead set on doing manual syncing, which I don't know, I'm having a hard time knowing why someone would want to do that. Maybe they want to save battery life. Maybe that's a good way to save on your battery. Well, then you'll get a reminder, and a reminder will pop up to say, hey, sync. And then you can hop right in there and set to sync it. But yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to it other than the fact that it's totally free. There's no ads. There's no, you know, pay or anything. I think you can donate through his website, and you should support your devs. But yeah, this is all about taking your Fitbit data, syncing it over to Google Fit, and it's just, you know, one of those apps that does one thing and, according to Mike, does one thing very well. This is an app that he uses all the time, and he says that he loves it. So it's called Fit to Fit. If you have a Fitbit and you want to sync your Fitbit to Google Fit, oh boy, then this is how you do it. Fit to Fit. Nice, got there. All right, Mateo, you're up next, and I have your app installed, so help me God.
Thank you. So my app for this week is, as usual, a goat-related one.
Big surprise.
And it's Curry Goat's Revenge.
I'm rubbing off on Jason, apparently.
Well, I'm sure Jason's maybe frustrated of having all these goat-related apps on his phones.
I've got a whole folder full of goat games now.
I gotta imagine what this does to your recommendations, Jason.
You don't want to know, Ron.
So this is Curry Goat Revenge Christmas Edition. Why not? It's April, where Christmas is just around the corner. So let's look at the Christmas edition of this game. Curry Goat Revenge is essentially an unlimited running game. So you're a goat. You're trying to get revenge for your friends who were turned into curry goats, which is originally Indian, as in Asian Indian cuisine delicacy, which seems to be also very popular in the Caribbean. So this is a friendly goat related runner where you have to hit locals in the Caribbean with headbutts. You need to avoid boxes of curry goats falling out of a lorry at the same time, and progress through the level as it becomes gradually more challenging.
Hold on, time out. So you're avenging your friends who were goats and have been turned into curry, and there is a truck in front of you throwing boxes of your dead friends as food that can hurt you.
Yes.
Wow.
And whilst you're avoiding those boxes, you need to also hit some people and get extra points, as well as power-ups as you go.
And these are Caribbean people?
Oh.
Yes.
Why Caribbean? So, well, so many questions.
Because curry goat is a Caribbean delicacy. They have their own version of curry goat in the Caribbean. And this is also a shout-out to our friend Marlon from the All About Android Trinidad community.
A guy from Trinidad, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and this is a local delicacy. And there's lots of quite sweet goat jokes throughout it, including fake goat product advertising, as well as some real ads, depending on how long you play for. It is a very enjoyable game. It's not too involving. You don't have to spend too much time doing it. But there's some interesting gamification and challenges to reach certain levels of run. There's also an ad-free option that's 99 cents in the US. It's 99 pence in the UK. And it's not too demanding a game. You don't need a super high-end smartphone to play this game. It works quite well on the Kirin 710 chipset in the Huawei P-Smart 2019, for example. And it's just a fun game. So I would say thank you for letting me demo yet another goat-related game. And as usual, this is a game brought to you by Team GG&G. That's Team Gina, Guests, and Goats.
Yeah, in the lead at the moment, or tied in the lead anyways, with Flo. So, you know, anything could happen.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Even goat curry.
Even goat curry.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
Avenge the goats. Curry, goat, revenge, Christmas.
Christmas luckily, edition, because Christmas is just around
your
the corner.
Only hope.
Christmas in April. There it is. All right. So we can cleanse our palate and yes, go back to earlier in the show when we were talking about the death of Inbox. And Jason, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
What was it about Inbox that you liked?
There's an organizational aspect of Inbox that I really liked. Bundles, primarily. It was very smart at detecting, like if something comes in and I want it to go over there, I just move the email over there. And then from that day forward, it's automatically, like, the filter is set up so that all those apps go into that bundle. And then I can dismiss that whole bundle in one button instead of having to go through manually. There's a number of reasons, but those are some of the reasons.
All right. Well, what if I told you today a new email app came out for Android that could replace Inbox for you almost seamlessly?
What?
Oh.
All right. So you're gonna want to check out Spark email app by Readle, Spark for Android, And it's funny because Spark is actually early in the show, someone in the chat room was chastising me for making fun of the death of Inbox and said, see how you feel when an app you love dies. Let's not forget several years ago when Inbox got gobbled up by Dropbox and I shed a tear, and I'd been looking for a desktop email app for years ever since. And more recently, I settled on Spark, but the only thing missing was an Android app. And now literally today, Spark released their Android app, which is amazing. So what Spark does is it's an email app, much similar to every other email apps that are out there. You can log in with your Google account or other accounts and things like that. And it allows you to have multiple accounts all in one thing. It has a smart inbox, is what Jason's looking at here, which allows you to categorize and collect emails in groups, whether they're in bundles, Jason, whether it's personal or notifications or newsletters or promotional type things, very similar to Google's smart, they're kind of the Gmail classifications. If you don't like the smart inbox option, you can hit the hamburger button and just go to your regular inbox, right? You see up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a pin icon. Guess what? You can pin emails. How about that?
Show that page.
Just show, yeah, let's show Jason all your pins. It has pinning ability. It also has snooze and pretty much every modern thing feature that you would think. So yeah, so if you swipe right, you can pin it. And try swiping left, and there you can mark it as unread, right? If you tap on an email or just full swiping, you archive it there, right? Right. So from here, you can reply. There's smart replies. You can auto reply. You can archive it. You can hit the clock button in the upper right hand corner and snooze it, right? So you get back to it when you need to. You can tell it when you want to snooze. You can have it send you a notification. Spark really is the email app that I think people who are looking looking for inbox replacement this is the solution that they're looking for. So like I mentioned, it's got snooze, it's got send later. You can schedule emails to send at a later time period. You can have reminders and follow-ups. You can customize it to your heart's content. It's got great search. You can customize your signature. So when you send an email, you can choose from different signatures. And then one of the things they've been pushing is the fact that they have email for teams. So if you've got a bunch of people that you work with, you can build together a team and you can respond to emails together or have it be shared email and create links to that email. And you can share that email on Slack or Salesforce or anything else that you're using on your team. It's really, really powerful and really, really flexible. So it's Spark. I don't want to go into every nitty-gritty detail of it, but it's got so much personalization. You can specify what the swipes do there. If you hit that personalization in the settings, Jason, you can specify what you see in the sidebar. What other app can you customize your hamburger menu? That's amazing. You can specify what the swiping does. So let's say instead of archiving, I want swipes to do snoozing, right? So I can do left long and I can change it to snooze. And I want to make swipe right to pin, right? So you can write long instead of – yeah, there it is. Sorry, write short is pinning. So you can customize all that great stuff. So Spark, email for Android. It's free in the Google Play Store. What I love about it is the fact that I've been using the desktop app for so long. And, in fact, everyone remembers my email woes with my POP3 server, right? We laughed at me about that. I have moved completely off POP3, and now I have – I will count it for you here now. 9 IMAP accounts.
Wow.
that were all set up on Spark for desktop. And when I logged into the app for the first time, it synced with the desktop and all those accounts were preloaded. It remembered the ones that I had pinned. I can start an email on the desktop and move to the app. It's completely seamless. So if you're looking for a desktop phone app combination, you don't like Gmail, honestly, Spark is super powerful. It's super amazing. This is an Android app that people have been waiting for. It's finally out. So, today's a perfect day. They killed Inbox. Switch over to Spark. You'll thank me for it. So check it out. Spark email for Android. Free. Go for it.
I will check it out, Ron.
It's worth checking out.
Right on. Awesome. Yep. And by the way, they planned their Android launch pretty perfectly, don't you think?
Pretty smart. Pretty smart.
Everybody was installing this today. Everybody was sad and installing this. So they did a really good job.
Because when we are sad and after we lose someone leaves us, we go and we try to find somebody to comfort us.
We replace
them. Go into the arms of just anybody.
Anyone.
The first person to come through.
Literally anyone.
Anyone, please.
It just doesn't matter.
Except a goat email.
Right. Except that. Cool. So we got four apps for you to vote on this week. Is your favorite Firefox Send, Fit to Fit, Curry Goat Revenge Christmas Edition, or Spark? Go to twit.to/AAApoll414, twit.to/AAApoll414, and place your vote. Victor is circling. We all know who Victor's voting for today. It's no surprise. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. Spark.
Victor needs a new email app.
Okay. I just thought he was going to go for the, like, the goat to the very end.
He already gave him three bumpers. It's fine. Sorry, Matt.
Only because I spent quite a few hours last night trying to figure out filters and making the same filters in Gmail.
And we're yelling and screaming. And yeah, I hear
See,
you.
It's a fresh wound for Victor,
this might,
too.
This might save time. Thanks, Ron.
All right, so Spark gets Victor's vote, and right now it's ahead at 50% of the votes. twit.to/AAApoll414, and that is it for this episode of All About Android and Matteo Doni. Are you going back to sleep?
I am, yes.
Okay,
I have a great day planned ahead in the office before heading to a BBC event in Glasgow tomorrow evening, so...
Nice.
Yes, I will be going back to bed.
Well, we really appreciate you, A, coming on, B, bringing your goat crew with you, and warping Victor's mind in the world of goat, and C, sacrificing your sleep, because it is a big sacrifice, and it's just really great that you're willing to do that. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully next time I will be in the studio.
Yes, absolutely. Tech Travel Geeks, they should just do a search for Tech Travel Geeks on YouTube. Is that what you want people to do to find you?
Yes.
Or?
So we have our site. We're focusing more on the travel side of things on our site. But most of the tech is on our YouTube channel at this point in time. So we've been focusing on that because there seems to be there was more of a challenge setting that up. Mm-hmm. We're quite proud of the fact that we set the channel up just over a year ago now, mm-hmm. and have already reached a certain level where we can consider ourselves monetized. Mm. So thanks to everyone in the All About Android community for subscribing and supporting us. We cover not only smartphones, but accessories, gadgets that make the overall travel experience better. And my chief aperture officer, Lukasz, manages to shoehorn a lot of drone footage into each review where he can. So keep an eye out for those. There's a lot of little Easter eggs in our video. We maybe spend a bit too much time on that compared to the rest of the content.
Too many bananas placed in
exactly.
strange
too
areas.
Many bananas, goats, and other things are in there. Lukasz spends a lot of time on the attention to detail side of things.
Awesome.
But thanks to everyone for supporting us, and thanks for having us on All About Android.
Absolutely. Always our pleasure, Matteo. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Ron, I imagine you too will be going to sleep soon.
I will, yes. A short subway ride away. And then I don't know if I'll be going to sleep, actually. I'll be trying to get some little ones to sleep, and I might be staying up late. But But in the meantime, you can go follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. And I talked about it last week, but if you're into pinball or into hardware, check out my new project I'm working on called Scorbit at scorbit.io. We recently launched our website, and we're taking reservations on orders of our device. Very exciting. Connecting pinball machines to the internet. It's pretty cool. I was working on the app last night. Hopefully should have the app rolling out this quarter. So I'll keep everybody posted on this project, but it's fun.
Amazing. So, love it.
Yeah.
Right on.
Good stuff.
Congrats, man. And then Flo, it's great to have you back today. Thank
you. It's great to be back.
What you got going on?
I've got a lot of stuff going on, actually.
Oh, yeah?
It's just I have to do it first beforehand. But lots
You're incubating.
Of, I mean, a little more than incubating. Okay, okay. Like, I have a list of stuff that I am now going to be doing up until August, which is great. But until then, you can actually just come to florenceion.com. I'll be updating Flow Feed within the next couple of weeks with some new tidbits here and there. If you want to come and join in the discourse, you can come join us in my Discord. I'll post links on Twitter. They're expiring links because that's how I feel comfortable. I want this to be a good and safe community for folks to come in and talk. So every day I just hang out in there as I'm working, and We talk about headlines, Twitter links, all that sorts of things. So come join us if you're just looking for a safe space to just talk about all the random stuff.
Tech and all that.
Tech and all that.
Awesome. Thank you, Flo. And thank you, Victor. Next week, there will be no goats on the show?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
He can't make any promises.
Yeah.
Good. I'll accept that. Let's see here. What do I want to promote? My review of the S10, the Galaxy S10, was on Hands On Tech a few days ago.
I saw that.
So go to twit.tv/HOT and you can find that. Also today, my review of the Galaxy Watch Active posted. So, you know, Samsung goodness all over the place on Hands On Tech.
By the way, it wasn't fair that you challenged me last week when I wasn't working out.
Well, I didn't know that.
At Samsung Health.
I didn't know that.
And so the day that you challenged me was the day that I was wearing platform sandals.
And I won.
I still managed to get 7,500 steps.
You did. Yes, totally. It wasn't like...
And blisters. But that's another. It's neither here nor there. Anyway.
Thanks for playing along, Flo. I appreciate it. Anyways, you can find those reviews there. The spoiler is that I like both of them very much. So... there you go. twit.tv/HOT. You can also find it on YouTube. Doing really well on YouTube, actually, this new series. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. You can find our Arena apps list. And thank you to the folks who keep that up to date. twit.to/Android apps. All the apps we've ever brought into the arena are listed there if you want to go back in time. Show notes of past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. There you're going to find all the information about the show, everything you need to know to subscribe, all past episodes, audio, video links, players embedded in the pages, everything you need, including the times that we record, which are Tuesdays starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. And I don't know if there's much else to say other than thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
My broken phone says goodbye.
Oh.